Good evening and welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Dewhurst, and you can find me on Twitter at Andrew K. Dewhurst. And with me this week is my special guest, TJ, from the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. If you want to say hi to everyone, TJ.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
And if you want to, talk about it, what you do at Five Hole Fantasy and anything else that you're doing in the fantasy community.
Yeah, I'll give a little bio here. So what's up, guys? I'm TJ Branson. I'm the host of Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Radio. I've been running the podcast, solo for a couple months now with my co-host moving down to North Carolina. He's getting settled into a routine down there. I kind of think he's dragging his feet, because in our money league, he's getting mollywopped pretty hard. So he's going to bring nothing but anger to the podcast, so I'm keeping him away from us. That's kind of who we are. We're a couple of angry chefs who, when we work together, 12, 13 hours a day, we do nothing but talk hockey, listen to other podcasts, satellite radio shows, every single NHL game that was on, we'd have blasted in the kitchen. After months of yelling at each other and hovering over each other's lineups, going to each other every day for advice, unless we were playing each other, of course, we decided to get going, get on the airwaves with what little free time we had and bring our love for fantasy hockey and day drinking to the people. So the love child that is Five Hole Fantasy Hockey began. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, a ton of other places, Instagram, Twitter, at Five Hole Fantasy Hockey, FHF Hockey. Keep an eye out for us, Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. We try to interact with as many people as we can. So hit us up there. We'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Yeah, sounds great, TJ. Do you want to give a shout out to your restaurant as well?
Funny enough, we're going to be talking about some flyer stuff. We got a grilled cheese named after Claude Giroux. And his favorite food is grilled cheese, so we had to do something for him. It's the Claude Giroubin, so a play on the Reuben, play on grilled cheese. Our restaurant is the Railroad Street Bar and Grill. So if you're in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania near Philly, we got these magnets, man. You can follow them around for a 90-mile radius. It's just an R and an R, backwards R, regular R. But yeah, man, we're doing some interesting stuff there. Everything's pretty much from scratch. A lot of fun to work there. You got to spend 12, 13 hours a day at a place. You might as well like it.
Absolutely. It's awesome that you've got a grilled cheese sandwich after Claude Giroux.
I'm hoping he comes in one day. I'll pay for his tab.
One of a buddy of mine works up in Hearst, which is where Claude Giroux is from.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know, is literally up in the middle of nowhere in Ontario. I think it's probably 10 hours northwest of Toronto.
Oh wow.
So I guess he doesn't make it into town all that often, basically for a golf tournament or two a year. But when he's in town, everybody knows, because it's only a town of probably a few thousand people.
And when he's in Philadelphia, I doubt the first thing he wants to do on an off day is eat grilled cheese. So
yeah,
you got to stay fit. I'm hoping in the off season he comes through though.
Absolutely. Let's get going on our players this week. So we'll start off, I think, with the easiest one. So Brad Marchand, basically, I think a no-doubter as to if he's owned everywhere. He's got to be owned everywhere.
Yeah, this is not a guy you're picking up.
Yeah, and if you're trying to get him off somebody, you're paying a pretty hefty freight. Any thoughts on Brad Marchand outside of, I guess, the obvious?
Well, if there is any time you're trying to get get Brad Marchand off somebody, it's right now in the middle of his five-game suspension. Somebody that doesn't have the time to they can't afford those 5 games. You might be able to give up a Josh Bailey, or if you're in a points-only league, it could be mutually beneficial. So I think right now is the perfect time to try and hit on Marchand. But he's on pace for over 30 goals, over 40 assists. He's pretty much the same player he was last year, which is great, especially the plus minus. He's plus 24 already this year. This dude's a perennial points leader. Not much more to say here. So it's not a guy you're going to be picking up. It's not a guy you're going to be streaming, but he is worth the mention. So they're all on fire up there in Boston. Bergeron, like everybody, man, they're on a roll.
Yeah. The only thing I really have to add is, you know, Marchand is perpetually a player that does stupid things. Like,
yeah,
that gets you into getting 5-game suspensions for elbowing. And I know lots of people who get frustrated by Marchand because he does bonehead things like that. So if there's ever a play to get it, yeah, I agree. Now's the time to do it.
But that's also, you got to draft Marchand with a grain of salt. You know you're going to hit these things, these speed bumps at some point in the year. I don't know if there's ever been a 82-game season where he hasn't gotten suspended or some type of, consequence, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, he's probably top 5 fantasy player.
Even missing these games, yeah. He's easily within the top 10.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as the negative of those suspensions are, he's the only top point getter that will give you the kind of penalty minutes if you're playing in those types of leagues, because the other, like, you're not getting penalty minutes from Connor McDavid. You're not getting penalty minutes from
Austin Matthews, Johnny Gaudreau, any of those guys.
So, he does have that advantage over those kind of guys. Next guy we got on the list, Rick Nash, or, I mean, as I guess I eloquently put it when I wrote about it this week, was the ghost of Rick Nash has risen from the ashes. Is Rick Nash a guy worth taking a shot on right now?
If he's available, I mean, he's worth, especially with Chris Kreider being out. Alain Vigneault seems to have found his first left wing in Rick Nash. He's got 4 goals, 1 assist, 14 shots on goal, a hit, 3 blocks in the past week. I think I wrote this on, Tuesday night. So any of the games withholding, he might have bumped those numbers up. 28% in ESPN right now, 41% in Yahoo. He's definitely available. In 72% of leagues, he's available in ESPN. So this is a guy you're probably likely to stream. And if the matchup is super sweet, yeah, take a chance on him. He's got 2 straight goose eggs against the Kings and Avs, but he's got 2 multi-point games before that with 2 goals and 1 assist and 2 goals in the other game. So, you know, he's putting up multi-point games with his top line right now. He's been pretty plumb. New York Rangers don't exactly have the superstars that, you know, other teams, they don't have a Tarasenko, they don't have like a Crosby or anything like that. So he's playing right now with Zibanejad and Buchnevich. But they seem to be rolling pretty well. The Rangers are kind of struggling right now, but Rick Nash is not one of those Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, Rick Nash, I just looked just to round out the ownership percentage. He's owned in just 47% of Fantrax leagues as well. He's available. I mean, the most encouraging part, I think, is, you know, he's playing 17 minutes a night, which is great. And, you know, he's getting the top power play time. So the opportunities are going to be there. I don't really believe in Rick Nash much anymore. Like, I see this as he's hot now and he got 5 points.
But that is what he's known for, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at the pacing, he's probably not giving you anything more than he gave you last year, which is maybe, you know, if you're lucky, 40 points. So, you know, as maybe the last guy on your bench.
But still,
he has always value. There. But, the great thing about the bottom of your bench is you can turn it over, grab guys while they're hot, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and
there you go.
Take it from there, right?
Absolutely.
Next couple of guys are a little bit more interesting. Next guy is Ryan Pulock.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Ryan Pulock? He seems to have kind of emerged out of nowhere as well.
I have little to no thoughts about Ryan Pulock. I'll be honest with you. He's 4% in ESPN, 3% in Yahoo. I don't know his Fantrax percentage, but he had himself a 5-point night. And if you were keen enough to have him, you know, for DFS or stream him or one of those 3 to 4% that owed him on a regular basis, good for you. But I think it's drop city. Absolutely drop city. He had 5 points in one night. His last 5 points behind that stretch back to December 16th. That's 15 games. And those 5 points that he had in those one night account for more than a third of his points for the entire season. So I'm thinking, you know, he did come out of nowhere, but I think it was a flash in the pan. It shouldn't excite anybody into thinking this guy's heating up or going on some sort of tear. He's a third pair D-man who's like when Johnny Boychuk started to skate again. So Ryan Pulock might be the first one to get the boot, or, you know, the other Sebastian Aho might be the one to get the boot. But, you know, Calvin DeHaan's on his way back, but his spot on the second power play unit is a bit concerning. The Isles top power play unit, super self-explanatory. All their best players are there, Tavares, Barzal, Bailey. But the second power play unit seems to kind of just be a rotating cast of characters. What do they call it? I can't think of the word right now. But Beauvillier is, you know, vying for a permanent spot there. But as far as Pulock and Sebastian Aho, they're going to 100% lose their power play time when, you know, the blue line gets healthy in Brooklyn. So as far as Ryan Pulock goes, I think that 5 point night, him being anywhere near relevant is over for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when Boychuk and DeHaan come back, their roster spots are also probably gone with them. Yeah. I mean, the encouraging and discouraging part is Pulock was a first rounder for the Islanders, I think, in 2013. If you follow, you know, if you follow drafts and how long it typically takes hockey players to develop, 5 years is not the time. If you're at 5 years, you're typically in bust territory at that point.
Shit or get off the pot, kind of.
Yeah, like you're 23 now. If you're a first rounder, you should have done something by now. So I expect he's going to find
completely off topic, man. Ryan or what's his name? Mark Jankowski up in Calgary.
Yeah.
25 years old right now and getting his first look in the NHL, and he's playing pretty well. He's 2 years Pulock senior, but I think he's really excelling out there. And I don't know. I think it was about time that he finally got some playing time too.
Yeah. I mean, it does happen and players develop at different pace. And I think I'm going to talk about that a little bit more as we get into some of the Flyers guys. But I mean, just as the generalized pattern, I think is, you know, at your fifth year, especially if you're a first rounder, it's, you know, the expectation is that you're in the lineup, more often than you're not, and you're making a contribution given, you know, the direction that the game's gone in. And, you know, I'll give this my best French interpretation, but Beauvillier, another first rounder. He's in a great position, playing with Barzal and Everly. He's not really putting up the points. So I think he's a guy that, you know, he's worth having in deeper leagues, because he's in such a great position. He's going to probably be a plus minus asset, if nothing else. And should just get second assists for while he's on the ice. But, you know, he had a good week.
Yeah.
5 points in four games. They're going to, like, those weeks are going to come for him. So I think he's a good guy to have at the end of your bench. He's getting the ice time. He's in a good situation. So, you know, he produces, he'll stay in a good spot. Because I think as far as the Islanders go, the top six is strong and the bottom six is a little bit more of a wasteland.
Yeah. So they're going to be seeing a lot less minutes. The top six will be seeing more of them.
Yeah.
Beauvillier reminds me a lot of like Anders Lee. Anders Lee is, I like to call him a greedy hockey player because he's getting a lot of goals and not so much assists. So
yeah.
Beauvillier is on the same pace. He's got 12 goals, 4 assists on the year. He's definitely got that shoot first mentality. His shots are just under 2 a game. At like 1.5 a game. I'd like to see that go up, as all of us would as fantasy owners, but his 20% shooting percentage is kind of a a bit daunting. So look for some regression there, but until goalies and defenses can start to put a pattern to his snipe, he's going to continue to be lethal. He's, like you said, he's playing with Barzal, Eberle. He's really excelled. He's logging big minutes, you know, with the talented supporting cast around him. He's worth an ad. He's worth a stream. He's been white hot since he's been called up. There was so much hype last year about Josh Hosang, and he kind of just skipped over Josh Hosang so quickly that at 18% owned, you know, this week, for me, like, ESPN is where my focus is. He was 6% last week, so he's jumped up 12% already in 1 week. So you don't want to be behind the eight ball when it comes to, you know, against your competition and picking this guy up. If you do have, like, you know, a bunch of ads during the week, Beauvillier is worth it if, you know, the matchup is kind of plumb that day.
Yeah, for sure. And I expect he's probably a great DFS play as well, because I imagine he's probably pretty cheap.
I don't doubt that at all. And I think since the Isles are going to, you know, how they've kind of slipped lately, they're going to be making a hard push right now. Unless, of course, you know, the Islanders tanking on purpose. The rumors are true. It's always good to use these last couple months for looking for people that are pushing for the playoffs or pushing for a wild card spot, because, you know, they're going to be trying harder than the other teams like Tampa or Vegas, who are going to start to sit their star players or not put them in hard positions. So the teams that are really fighting for it are the ones you want to target as far as streamers and, you know, ads for the week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any situation where the Islanders tank. I mean, they've got the looming free agency of Tavares.
Oh man,
Tavares walks and this team is instantly back in shambles again. And not to mention, like, they couldn't tank enough to even probably get into the bottom of the Eastern Conference, let alone.
Like, I mean, unless they do it so obviously that, like, they're just not even moving around. Like, five people are playing on PlayStation and controllers are disconnected.
Yeah, like, they would have to trade Tavares, I think, and probably a couple other pieces.
I saw this incredible rumor. It says, Montreal doesn't trade anybody, wins the draft lottery, signs John Tavares after ditching Plekanec, and then signs Rasmus Dahlin. Then you've got Pacioretty, Tavares, Galchenyuk, or Drouin, with either one centering the second line. Dahlin and Weber and Carey Price. That is all. And just the thought of, because I know Montreal is going to have the cap space to even toy around with the idea of Tavares, and that would be pretty interesting. But
I don't see it happening. So, like,
they've got to do something to keep him around.
If there's anything I know about Montreal, like, one, they've, like, if they sign Tavares, they got no room left on the run. Like, you're going to have what? Probably 21 plus million of your cap taken up between Price and Tavares
and Weber.
Yeah, plus whatever is left owing on Weber, which I think is up near 10, so that's 30 million.
30 million between three people.
Yeah, of your $70 million cap.
Better make it worth it.
Yeah. Also, like, places like Montreal are really tough. Like, it's really hard to sign free agents, like top free agents in Montreal, because the media is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And not to mention, like, Tavares is a Toronto kid. So, like,
I've heard a lot of rumors about him on the Maple Leafs.
Yeah. I don't see that as a fit either. Like, the Maple Leafs are going to have a boatload of money they're going to have to spend on Austin Matthews, and they're going to have to spend on Nylander and Marner and all these kids that, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense, but I mean, they're willing to go 10 plus million on Stamkos the year before. So maybe they make a play, but I just don't see it. Like, top hockey players don't seem attracted to dealing with the media scrutiny of Toronto and Montreal.
Yeah, my money's on he stays in the island.
Yeah, he gets to stay. He gets to live in New York. And not only that, well, I guess they'll be back out in the island based on the proposed new arena deal. But
yeah, John Tavares Arena.
But, like, the great thing for Tavares is he's going to make $10 million a year and get to walk around New York, and no one's going to know who he is.
Yeah.
So, I don't see him leaving. And just moving forward, sorry, the goalie for the week, Antti Raanta. What are your thoughts on Ranta? I know that's not a great situation in Phoenix, but do you think he's worth pursuing?
If your league is like super heavy on saves, this is a guy to definitely go for. He's stopped 114 of 122 shots with a 2.0 goals allowed average in his last four. They are playing tonight. It's a first intermission between them and Columbus. It's 0-0 right now. So in my opinion, if the Coyotes could get any supplementary scoring, Ranta would be like in a wicked spot. The problem is he can put up these kind of numbers, you know, a 931 save percentage in the last week, 2-0-2, but can also, you know, shit his pants on any random night with three sub 900 games in the last 10. And two of those starts have been sub 850. So career 917 save percentage and 2.38 goals allowed average goalie, his 2017-18 year as a starter and on a bottom of the league team, his stats aren't far off. So the anti-Ranta that we're seeing right now is the anti-Ranta that has always been there, but he's just not getting the scoring. And we saw this with Mike Smith. Look what happened to him when he moved up to Calgary. Now he's one of the, you know, top 10 fantasy goalies to have right now. So I think it's just a good goalie in a bad spot. It sucks because he's in Arizona, but other than that, if like I said, if you're really heavy on saves, then he's good to go for wins. You know, he'll get you one every once in a while, but this is a bottom of the league team. You know, second worst goal differential. How much can you blame Ranta for this? I don't think very much, but I really don't know where to stand on Ranta. It's a really tough spot. It's such a bad team and such a good goalie. If you know, if you're weighted heavily on wins, then I say no, absolutely no. But, you know, if you need the saves or something, go for it. Scott Wedgwood looked really good in his starts too. So you got this no-name backup kind of pushing for it when Ranta was hurt and benched and all that. But I'm sorry, Andrew. I just really don't know where to stand. Anti-Ranta.
Yeah, the way I see it is Ranta is a perfect third goalie.
Yeah, okay.
And if you're going to go get a goalie, he's going to be a guy that you're probably not going to have to pay a high price for because there's, you know, if there's a chance that the owner overvalues wins. And, you know, maybe you have to give up, you know, you give up some sort of forward depth to get it. But the ratios are great, right? You can't knock the 917 or 918 save percentage.
Yeah.
That's well above league average. And you're going to take that because that's going to help you. Yeah, the wins aren't going to be there, but you know, if he's the guy that you're just kind of filling in for, you know, to accumulate stats and
it's just a body.
Yeah. Then I think he's perfect.
If you're in a categories league where, you know, you have like five goalie categories and wins is only one of them, he's up there. He's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Roto leagues. He's, you know, he's money. Like he is absolute money because you're not going to pay for him in a draft. You're not going to pay for him in a trade.
Hell, you might even be able to pick him up.
Yeah. Although typically in those leagues,
the goalies are blue chips.
All 30, like 32 goalies are taken because every team's got like three or four. So now to move on to the fun part of the show, talk about some Flyers hockey and how they fit in with for fantasy purposes.
So, just living just outside of Philadelphia. I've been a lifelong Flyers fan. We all know how valuable Giroux and Voracek are, and Shane Gostisbehere has had his bounce back year as, you know, an offensive stud. Even guys like Couturier, who you might have, you know, went undrafted and you might have picked them up off the waiver wire, you know, have been your best waiver wire pickup this year outside of like, I don't know, I think he's even beating Matthew Barzal out. I know he was a waiver wire ad in my league, or even the peripheral juggernaut that is Ivan Provorov. but these are some kind of under the radar guys to look at, worth streaming in your season long leagues, definitely worth the salary in DFS. So I'm going to start from like the bottom of the pile here. Robert Haig, he leads the NHL in hits right now. He's a rookie, just getting his first look in, on the big squad here, 162 hits in 47 games played. I haven't counted up his hits in the game against Tampa Bay tonight, but as of last night, he was leading the entire NHL in hits. That's just under four a game in 47 games played. He has 162. So if you're hurting for hits in like banger leagues or roto, you know, category leagues, Haig is your boy. He's 6% in ESPN, 7% in Yahoo. He's just a beast of a young buck. He's not much for offense, but he's only got 6 points on the year, but pitching in 20 minutes of penalties, you know, on the whole, what he offers are the hits. And boy, does he ever, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got a chance to watch Robert Haig, but he is a juggernaut.
I haven't had a chance to catch much Flyers hockey this year. I expect it's going to get better as NBC starts putting on games on Sunday. He did add another four. He added four more hits tonight.
So perfect, right on par.
Yep, three shots on goal. So you can't – three blocks, so
– it's all yep. Those peripherals, man.
Yeah, can't knock that. And chipped in second-pairing minutes, it looks like. 16 minutes, 17 seconds. So he was the fifth defenseman in minutes as Gudas played just about 20 seconds more. It's about the same.
Yeah, I think he's actually on the pairing with him.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it looked like top minutes were...
Ghost and Provy.
Yeah. And then Andrew McDonald.
Ugh, I don't want to get into him. He was an anchor.
So... those peripheral stats, if you're playing in those hits leagues, block shots, you're probably a guy you're getting for nothing as well.
Oh man, he's a diamond in the rough at that rate.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really digging these young guys, man. There's kind of a nice youth movement going on here, being in the top 10 youngest teams in the league. Our pipeline is still really impressive while giving some of the best of our young guys some time in the big leagues. I did have a chance to go to the Flyers rookie development camp this summer and was impressed by a lot of people who I know are never going to make the team. We have too much depth at center. You can see that because Giroux, our number one center for, you know, 10 years running, has been moved to the left wing. So Ivan Kosarenkov is... just a random name I'm throwing out there, but he's wicked. I watched a lot of him at that play, and they were doing a 3-on-3 tournament. He looked like the best player out there, and I know he's never going to see time in the NHL, and it's such a bummer.
Yeah, at least not till, I mean.
Not for a while.
Yeah, not for a while. The roster's not going to look the same when that time comes, right?
I don't think so. But we got a lot of defense coming up this year. Sam Moran, Robert Haig have already gotten some time. You're seeing Ivan Provorov 2 years in, Shane Gostisbehere 3 years in. Mark Friedman is another guy. Philippe Myers are probably maybe 1 year out. They're probably going to see some time next year, but they got a lot of offensive upside. So if you're in a dynasty league or anything like that, these are two names to really look at.
Yeah, and that's great advice, guys, to keep an eye on.
I think the elephant in the room here is going to be Travis Konecny.
Yeah. So my understanding of this, and correct me if where I'm wrong, is that up until probably about 2 weeks ago, Konecny has kind of been what's happened with this guy. Like, is he ever going to be anything?
Well, we have. It seems like from a. Just a Flyer standpoint, we have a lot of stock put in this guy. And he's finally getting to prove it. He's playing top line with my man Giroux and Couturier. And since his promotion, he got another goal tonight. And this is six goals, six assists, and I think 13 games played now. I'm not sure if my math is right there. But like I said, I wrote this on Monday or Tuesday night. I don't know how many shots he had tonight, but as of that time, he had 24 shots on goal, just above two a game. And he's shooting pretty reasonable, 16.6% shooting percentage, which is a little bit double his career average, but the same could be said for Couturier or anybody that is finally getting into some top-line minutes and finally seeing the deployment. So, you know, you're playing double the minutes. I think your shooting percentage should go up twice as much. So these numbers, they spell regression for anybody looking at them on paper. But the truth is, here in Philly, we've never gotten a chance to see Konechny, TK on a top-line role for an extended period of time. So it's kind of a sticky situation here. Definitely worth a stream. Right now, he's looking more and more like a hold. He's on, I think, a four-game goal streak, with two of those being game-winning goals. He's got 10 points in 11 games. That number has only gone up because, you know, like I've said, my notes are old by now. And in the last week, not including the game versus Detroit or the game versus this, I know he added two more goals, so I can do the easy math there. It's four goals, two assists, and over 10 shots a game. I don't know if you saw the overtime winner versus Holtby, but it was super badass. He's getting to like real the super dirty areas, which is nice. I like to see him in the slot. And at just under 10% owned and 12% in Yahoo, he's definitely somebody to hit on now because people are starting to catch on. He's gone up 4% in ESPN and 8% in Yahoo. So everybody's definitely starting to catch on to Travis Konechny.
Yeah, Konechny's got a lot of pedigree. Like he was in his rookie year in junior, led the OHL led all rookies in points, which is not necessarily a small feat. Captain of the Ottawa 67s. I thought it was really funny, because you would never see this anywhere else but in junior hockey, where he was part the trade from Ottawa to Sarnia in 2016. Konechny goes from Ottawa to Sarnia for Sasha Sasha Russian last name, Chase Campbell, and 10 draft picks.
Jesus.
Like that's insane.
That's like 10, a Lindros
10 draft picks. Yeah. I mean, I think this happens fairly often in junior hockey. Like if you want a top player if you want to try to win the Memorial Cup, you're going to end up to get a top player. You're going to give up the farm and then some.
Yeah. You only got these guys for a certain amount of years and then they move on.
Yeah. It's 3 years. If you're lucky.
Wow.
And then
10 draft picks.
I mean, he played under 18 for Canada. He played, played World Juniors. So played in 2017 World Championship for Canada, which also says quite a bit.
And he's finally starting to fill those shoes, man.
Yeah. So I think he's definitely worth an ad. Again, you know, mentioned this earlier, but, you know, you keep the bottom of the end of the bench moving. And sometimes you're going to hit. And I think he's a guy that's worth grabbing and adding right now. He's, you know, great situation. I don't think is he seeing power play time right now?
No power play time yet, but I don't think it's going to be long. You know, you got Jory Laterra on the power play for whatever reason. It's not going to be long before he finally gets the boot, especially if Konechny's continues this tear. At least that's what I hope. Even though Jory Laterra has kind of been on a staple, has been a staple on power play two for way too long. It's not long. He did see some time tonight, but it was the weirdest situation. They were on a power play and they pulled a goalie. So I wasn't fully watching the game as I was talking to you, but I think it was a 7-on-5 and he saw some power play time in that situation.
So, yeah. So it looks like it's not far from being around the corner.
Yeah. I got to give a lot of credit to Dave Hextall, man. As much shit as we give him here in Philadelphia, it's just, he's actually made some really nice moves, you know, moving Giroux to the wing, took some balls, and then putting TK up on the top line. That's no short feat. So I do have to give him some credit. We've been calling for his head for a while, but he's made some smart moves.
Yeah, and fair enough. Next guy, Michael Raffel.
Yeah, he did get hurt on the game on Tuesday. I don't think he saw any time tonight. I'm not exactly sure if he was playing. I came straight from work. I didn't have a chance to look that up. He's not much of a shooter, but he was playing alongside Filppula, Voracek. But depending on the matchup, if it's like a real soft matchup there, a soft opponent, he's worth a stream or definitely a DFS play because you know he's going to be cheap. He's by no means clogging up a roster spot in any format. So this is not a guy you're holding. It's just a one day, you know, add him, drop him. Unless you're in like a 40 team league or something like that, then I could see rostering Michael Raffel for a while. But other than that, man, that's it. He's been doing pretty good alongside those two guys, but other than that, not much to say.
Yeah. He did play tonight, 15 and a half minutes.
Okay. So he is not hurt.
Yeah. And also just one brief update. Konechny had 2 minutes of power play time tonight.
Very good.
So
yeah, I think on that power play, I saw the first unit out for the entire time. So they didn't even get a breather.
Yeah. So yeah, good things to come. Yeah, Raffel. Let's see who moving down a little bit more. Provorov.
Yes. So we talked about Robert Haig for hits. Provorov is your guy on the other side of it. He is blocking shots like nobody else. He's fifth in the league right now, close to twice as many shots as any of the four guys ahead of him in block shots. So not only are you getting the blocks, but you're also getting the shots there. He's pretty highly owned, and every week it's going up and up and up. And he is getting some power play time, logging like 24 and a half minutes on the top pairing with Ghost. 9 goals, 15 assists on the year. Just over half point a game. This is somebody, you know, bottom of your roster defenseman, especially if you're in those peripheral leagues. He could be even more important to you.
Yeah. I've got Provorov in a keeper league. And I think in leagues like that, he's golden in a league like that.
Only getting better.
Yeah, he's getting better. He's only 20 years old. I mean, he doesn't get a ton of power play time.
Because of arrangements. Philly runs like a 75%, 25%. So the first unit will get like a minute 30, and then the second one will get like 30 seconds.
Yeah. But that being said, you know, moving forward, he projects to be – he's already on the top pairing. So he's getting premium ice time that way. He's got all the skills, right? Great shot, skates well.
Very devious.
Yeah, so you know he's definitely a guy if you're in a dynasty league or a keeper league, and it's deep enough that you can keep a guy like Provorov. I think there's a lot of value in trying to go get it, because as you alluded to earlier, Philadelphia is set up to probably be pretty good for a while. At the very least, they're going to score some goals. So there's value in guys like this. I mean, 65% owned in ESPN, 68% owned in Yahoo feels actually a little low. That in more like basically a third of all leagues he's still available. So
I know it's crazy.
I guess they're straight points leagues. So I guess I understand in that situation.
In a couple points leagues, I would still trade for him. I know we count shots, and I think my worst defenseman right now is Eric Johnson in my money league, and I would give up Eric Johnson in a heartbeat for Provorov.
Yeah, I think mine's worse than that.
I'm sorry.
Which probably says something for my team. It's a roto league, so it's a little like it's minorly different. But I've got Bufflin, Hannafin, Krug, Lindell, Manson, and Provorov. Oh, my defenseman. So
Lindell had a hell of a game last week, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think it was on Saturday. Jeez.
He's one of those guys, right? Like 21 points plus 17, 7 power play points. you know, leagues are won with sometimes with guys that everyone's not looking at.
I think like, he's playing the top pairing with Klingberg, and every once in a while we'll see that top power play time too.
Yeah.
Like just kind of balance out those things.
If you got plus minus, like having a guy that's plus 17 is such a huge benefit, right?
Yeah.
Chipping in some points, so you know, you take it.
And back to Provorov, man, his possession rating is out of hand. Like him and Ghost, the only pairing that's better than them, like Corsi for and expected goals for, is Hamilton and Giordano up in Calgary, man. Like Hamilton just by himself is putting shots on net like nobody's business. And between the two of them, they hold on to the puck. Yeah. If they're playing with a Tkachuk, the 3M line, as they call him, the Tkachuk, Frolik when he's back in Backlund, man, that line is only second to the Bergeron line in Boston as far as like possession and Corsi. It's ridiculous. I have a lot of respect for Calgary.
Yeah. Their defense is ridiculous. Like just top to bottom, top six are
so well rounded.
Yeah. Probably the best defense core in the league. And they've got some young talent there. They're a little small up front, I think. Yeah. But over time it'll work itself out. As you kind of gotta, I feel like when you're building your team, you end up having to build around the edges. Like you get what you get, then you can fill in the size with free agency and things like that.
You pair a guy like Michael Ferland with Johnny Gaudreau and you even those things out, the yin to the yang.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of what Edmonton did, not to so much success this year, but you know, you go get a guy like,
Lucic.
Yeah. Lucic, put him out there with McDavid you know, guys aren't getting pushed around. And because that's, I think, the biggest – I mean, that's my concern with Gaudreau is, you know, he's already had those wrist injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cutting down on the slashing, but, I mean, he's just so small that you always worry about him getting breaking down.
Found to happen.
Yep.
Next up, I got Nolan Patrick, man, the number two draft pick overall, who's been nothing but underwhelming, especially from a fantasy standpoint. I'm going to preface this by saying 9 points in 39 games, not impressive. We all know going into the year, there was kind of a caveat to Patrick saying, oh, he was injury prone, this, that, and the other. But I think there's a lot of parallels here to what Giroux dealt with last year. Giroux had a down year last year. We all know it. And he had the same complaint that he spent his entire summer recovering. He didn't spend much time in the gym, lifting, conditioning, any of that. And then you see what Giroux has been able to do this year. So going back to Dynasty and Keeper Leagues, I think Patrick is going to have a wild bounce back year next year. It's kind of just a saying, and not so much for football fans right now here in Philadelphia, but the Philadelphia saying is there's always next year. And I think that's exactly what I have to say with Nolan Patrick. It's not going to be a far cry to say the best is yet to come.
Yeah, with Patrick, I think it's really about getting the ice time in and developing. Missed a lot of time last year because of injury. Missed the start of this year with injury. Skills wise, like he went number two overall in the draft because of the injury past and that concern, not because he doesn't have the skills. So if there's any Devils fans out there, like keep that in mind. Like if 5 years from now you're looking at this draft and saying we should have taken Nolan Patrick, it's because he stayed healthy.
I got my fingers crossed.
Because I see the potential of him as being what you have from Couturier right now.
I hope so.
Both ends of the ice.
He's not doing so hot, you know, with face-offs, but that's always something you can work on. He's making the jump from, you know, to the big leagues. So
yeah, and he's 18. Like that's also a big thing to remember too, right? Like
he's got a lot of time.
And you look at Nathan MacKinnon right now, right?
Oh man!
First few years, it was I don't know. Like you get excited and It's like, maybe he's going to be a bust. And then before you know it, he's leading the NHL in scoring.
It was really ho-hum for a while, but now it's, what is he? He's either beating Kucherov or real close to it.
Yeah, right there. So, I mean, it's that pedigree again and requires some patience. And that's the biggest thing when you're dealing with these kids is that, one, they are literally children, like they're 18 years old, you know, dealing with life in the big city for the first time, you know.
Probably getting real used to it.
Yeah, for better or worse.
A little bit of freedom.
Yeah. I mean, he would have lived probably in Brandon last year, which is a small town out in the prairies. So life in Philadelphia is going to be a little bit different.
He's still only getting like 12 minutes ice time right now. That line that he's on, I mean, it's been a staple for a few games now, but it's kind of always been in flux. He hasn't been able to build any chemistry with anybody. He's been with Simmons for the longest amount of time, but hopefully, you know, Phil Pillow's contract gets out of there, you know, this offseason, and then he's going to be able to see some power play time and top six deployment. If you know, we start to lose some of that center depth, then Patrick can move up the depth chart there, maybe see some second line time. He definitely needs to shoot more. He's barely over one shot a game, which is not something, I mean, from the eye test, watching him on the ice, he's been really good lately, but us as fantasy owners and, you know, we're talking fantasy right now, and he needs to shoot more, 100%. I can't say it any other way. With greater ice time, he's going to see, you know, two shots a game, three shots a game. With, you know, all 10 of my fingers crossed, I can only say that.
Yeah, and I think for the Flyers' playoff hopes, like you're going to need to see a little bit more, or they're going to have to go and add somebody before into the deadline to, and probably move them down or. You know, you'll probably have to move him down the depth chart at this point. You know, see fourth line minutes and,
pick up a third line center or something.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're in the thick of it right now, like 3 points ahead of the Rangers. So,
I think we're in the top wild card spot right now.
Yeah. So you'd get the enviable position of, I guess, playing Washington in the first round right now. But, at the same time, you know,
that's not a bad place to be.
Yeah, but you're also tied with Jersey and a point back of Pittsburgh with three games in hand. So, like, you could just as easily find yourself finishing second in the Metropolitan with a home playoff date with New Jersey, which is pretty favorable as well.
I've, for years, as a Flyers fan, just, you know, been accustomed to losing, been accustomed to, since we went to the Stanley Cup final, just being out of the playoff picture and never really putting too much stock into games. You know, just being like, oh, yeah, this is entertaining. This is fun. I like this team. But now, like, that we're fighting for it. I know we're only, you know, 50 games in, but it's starting to get a bit uncomfortable with the team being, quote unquote, good, you know, 16-6-1 since their 10-game losing streak that everybody was talking about. You know, since December 2nd, we're right up there, and it's starting to get a bit unnerving watching these games. They actually mean something, finally.
Yeah, 8-2 in your last 10, which is, you know, puts you in a good position.
Yeah, nothing to stick at.
As I typically like to tell people, when, you know, you have to take the good times with the good, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. The good time, like the great thing about having, you know, but your team's doing well is they're fun to watch and you want to watch it all the time.
Yeah.
The bad part about it, you know, when your team stinks, it's great to go out and see them because the teams are giving everything away and the tickets are cheap.
I am no stranger to that. Tickets might not be cheap, but the team could still be bad.
Well, yeah. So the typical fit, I mean, I think we touched on a lot of Flyers players tonight. One question like that, ask all my guests, if you could recommend one Flyers player, that's probably not owned, who would it be?
Well, just looking at the power play time, all of power play one is probably owned up. Power play two, because that's, I like to target guys on the power play. I don't know. Provorov, I guess he's, I mean, that's even a bad way to go because he's so, like we were saying, in two thirds of leagues, he's there. I'm going to go with Robert Hake. He's got the hits. He's got the body for all those peripherals. Anybody that was using Radko Gudas as their stud, you know, for hits, for PIMs, this, that, and the other thing, Robert Hake is the new guy.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing we didn't touch on is the goalie situation.
Oh, boy.
or lack thereof.
Yeah. Well, in the future, we're going to have it. We got Carter Hart, Felix Sandstrom, you know, in the pipeline. So yeah. Right as, you know, Claude Giroux was 37, 38 in, you know, the twilight of his career, we're finally going to have a goalie. But as of right now, Brian Elliott is kind of serviceable. He, to me, and we joke a lot about it, he's a cheap Steve Mason. We're not far off from where we were last year, but Neuvirth, you know, he put up a 930 save percentage until tonight when he gave up a five spot. But he was looking like the good one, and that's, we've always rocked with a tandem. But we put a lot of stock into Brian Elliott this year. And, you know, he played 26 out of 28 games for a stretch there. And then, you know, gave up five to the Rangers and got pulled. And then they played Neuvirth for a while. I don't know. I can't recommend either, but Brian Elliott, I'm definitely, he's the starter, like clear hands down. But the same way that we were talking about Antti Raanta, man, he might not get you the wins lately. He has been, but he's in a better spot. I'm not even gonna say a little better spot. He's in a better spot than Antti Raanta. He's definitely not top tier. You know, top 10 round draft pick, but he's a good second or third goalie. He's a good second goalie. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, Elliott's a guy. Brian Elliott's success in his career to me feels like it's always been tied to how good the defense is in front of him. Like in his time with the Blues, when he was, you know, putting up ridiculously low, like sub two goals against. You know, playing in a Ken Hitchcock system where, like, they're just not giving up shots on goal.
Yeah.
He's almost the anti-Roberto Luongo in that case of, like, Roberto Luongo across his career strived when he saw, like, 35 to 40 shots, stunk when he saw, like, 20 shots. Elliott, if you get 20 shots on goal, he'll probably give up a goal, maybe two.
Yeah,
and when you look at the stats, you'll, much like I look at them right now, and you go, oh, 2.77 goals against, that's not bad. Oh, what a 0.908 save percentage. That's terrible.
Yeah, where does that come from?
Yeah. But, I mean, he's serviceable. He's going to get you the wins, and that's the upside. Like, Flyers are winning. Elliott's going to get you those wins. I guess Neuvirth's worth a stream.
Yeah.
For the time being. If you're playing in a dynasty league, go and get Carter Hart. Like if there's any way you can go and get him. I don't know if you saw the World Juniors.
Oh man.
But he's the reason Canada won.
What did he have? A 1.3438 goals allowed. He's just out of this world right now.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Actually reminds me of Steve Mason in the same position.
Oh man. Hold on. I got to find some wood. Got to knock on wood.
Yeah. But, he's definitely the future. So if you're in that kind of league, definitely go and get him, because there's probably, unless you're in a with a bunch of guys that really know what's going on, they may have no idea who he is. So
I can't think of anybody else, any other goalie coming up that's beaten him out.
Yeah, me either, without going in probably – I mean, I haven't done all the digging on it, but he's the guy I'd be keeping an eye on. So, with all that being said, let's just going to wrap things up. Thanks again for coming on the show, TJ.
Thanks for having me, man.
Great having you. If you want to give a, you know, put out all everything that you're working on and where you can be reached on social media.
We are on Twitter and Instagram, strange enough. I'm not seeing many fantasy hockey pages out there on Instagram, but we're doing a lot there. You can follow us both on Twitter and Instagram at FHF Hockey. Instagram, I'll just put up things, you know, like the story, starting goalies. We'll every once in a while, we'll do, you know, a couple good streaming options, something to check out, injury updates that we find up, anything that's kind of fantasy relevant. Twitter is more or less a place for me to interact with users, answer fantasy questions. So keep an eye out for us, Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. Give us a listen. We're on iTunes, like I was saying. We're trying to have new episodes every week, but my schedule as an executive chef and a father to a one-year-old sometimes keeps me from recording here and there. But yeah, if you guys want to come get drunk or anything like that and talk some hockey, we record the show live on Instagram with a Q&A segment at the end of it, and we post it the next day on iTunes. So that's at FHF Hockey.
All right. That sounds great. And you can find me on Twitter at Andrew K. Dewhurst. You can find all of my written work for hockey at friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Also, I'll just quickly plug, if you don't know Friends with Fantasy Benefits, we do a ton of baseball coverage. So new podcasts every day leading into the season. Draft guides coming up. And you can find I'll be doing a regular Monday podcast with Justin Mason and Chuck Anderson, and you can find my work there bi-weekly, and you'll find some of my stuff in their draft guide. So thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great fantasy hockey season.